All right, Alexander, let's talk about the another big country in Europe that seems to be going through a political ideology shift, it seems, especially amongst the younger voters. This is interesting, and that country is Spain. Now, last month, we had an election in Madrid where Isabel Díaz Ayuso won, and she's been dubbed Spain's Thatcher. And she's interesting because she is a person of the conservative right, and she was very much anti-lockdown. She's a controversial figure, a controversial political figure. But she took a position of anti-lockdown, and she won the elections in Madrid, in the region of Madrid, by a lot. And much of her support was coming from younger demographics, which is interesting. And I find this interesting in that you have Spain, which has been a country over the past decades dominated by politics on the center left to the left. I would say the center left, neoliberal center left. It has been dominated by these types of parties. Now, all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, you had Vox, the party Vox, and now you have politicians like Ayuso who are coming from the right, and they're winning decisively. I mean, they're winning elections. They're winning it with a large majority, and they're coming in with a very focused, conservative, anti-establishment, in this case, anti-lockdown type of politic. What do you make of what's happening in Spain?
I think this is a seminal change, and you have to know Spain and you have to know the political culture in Spain to understand what a massive change this is. I mean, bear in mind that Spain had a long period of dictatorship, from the 1930s until the 1970s, when it was ruled by General Franco, and this created a very strong bias against the political right in Spain amongst many people. And also bear something else in mind, which is that, of course, in much of the Anglosphere, Britain, the United States, and such places, you see young people have been moving to the left. They've become radicalized, and they're becoming radicalized towards the left. But what you're seeing in countries like Spain, and Spain is only one example, but it's a very telling example. France, by the way, is also similar, is that in continental Europe, the part of Europe that is under the forms part of the EU, young people are also becoming radicalized, but they're becoming radicalized towards the right. And I would stress the libertarian right, but also in some respects the anti-EU right. I mean, they're becoming very fed up with lockdowns. That's pretty widespread and very common. But they're also becoming very, very fed up with the centre-left parties, which are seen as pro-EU and establishmentarian and uninterested in them and looking backwards to the past, but actually always ultimately focused on carrying through the policies of the EU. And whatever the EU central leadership basically imposes across Europe. And you're starting to see in countries like Spain, and Spain, as I said, is an important case study because it's a country where you would not expect to see this sort of politics gain traction very quickly, given the past history. What you're starting to see in Spain is the growth of political parties and political movements like this, appealing to the young people and taking a very strong line, a nationalist line. It's an important feature of these politics that they're taking a nationalist line, a libertarian line, a right-wing line, an anti-EU line. Now, this particular candidate in Madrid is, as I understand it, part of the Spanish People's Party, which is a kind of established, it is the major conservative party in Spain. It's formed the government. It has previously been very much part of the EU establishment. But she's starting to challenge this political line from within the party on the right, from the right. So she is, if you like, starting to reflect the influence of the rise of straightforwardly anti-EU parties like Vox on the right in EU states like Spain. Vox is the anti-EU party in Spain. Vox is also the nationalist party in Spain. And you see that people within, like this particular candidate in Madrid, is starting to reflect and adapt themselves to that political language. And what you're seeing in Spain is a sea change. And given the size of Spain and its potential importance and its critical role in the EU architecture, if this thing continues to gather force, which I predict it will, then you will start to see the EU facing an insurgency in another major EU country, like the ones that it's experiencing in countries like France and Italy, but Spain also.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how similar is the political landscape in Spain, what's happening now, in comparison to France and Italy? Interestingly enough, once again, you have in France and in Italy, you have also Le Pen leading the charge. In Italy, you have Meloni leading the charge. And now you have Ayuso. So three women who are leading I don't even know if it's a conservative, a libertarian charge. Maybe in Italy, it's more conservative, can you say?
Well,
I mean, how would you stack up these three movements? Or these three political ideologies?
Well, I mean, they're right-wing, they're conservative, they're nationalist, and that's an important feature of this. I mean, they're nationalist. In Italy and Spain, they're also Christian. Certainly in Italy, they are. They are, in some ways, they look back to more traditional conservative values, but with a kind of libertarian streak thrown in. So it brings this all together. But I think mainly and principally and overall, they are conservative libertarian. That's how I would describe them. Now, Le Pen is conservative Republican. It's a different tradition in France, somewhat distinctive from the Spanish-Italian model, but it's able perhaps to respond to them. I think the Italians and the Spanish are closer to Orban's style of politics, perhaps, than they are to Le Pen's. I mean, bear in mind, Orban is a Christian Catholic.
How much of a role do you think the migrant crisis and everything that's going on with immigration and Merkel's policy of immigration is affecting these three countries? We all know what's going on in France. We see videos of what's happening in Italy. In Spain, just a few weeks ago, there was an incredible crisis that was happening at the border with migrants trying to cross over. How much of a role do you think that's playing? Or do you think this is more of an effect of the lockdowns and the restrictions?
No, it's the migrant issue is central to all three. But I mean, the reason it's playing out so strongly is because more and more people feel that the EU and their leaderships are more concerned, again, with virtue signalling on the migrant issue and perhaps also seeking to use migrants for, shall we say, economic and social changes, to affect economic and social changes, and are prepared to sacrifice them along the way. So there is that play as well, that there is a sense also that Italy, France, Spain are being diluted, that the national traditions of these countries are being changed, and you see people rallying in Italy, Spain, France to oppose these things. Behind these right-wing parties, just as they have in Hungary.
How threatened do you think Sanchez is?
Not at the moment. I mean, he doesn't run a very strong government, but there is no immediate crisis that could bring it down. But what you're seeing is a steady and not so slow build-up. I think we will see an election. We will see the Socialist Party collapse. That's my prediction. We will see Spanish socialism going exactly the same way as the socialism has in so many other countries in Europe, with once dominant parties like the SPD in Germany, the Democratic Party in Italy, they're now polling in the sort of middle tens percent, you know, around 10-15% of the vote, slightly more in Italy. And in France, of course, the Socialist Party is in single digits. So we are probably living in the last days of Italian socialism. They're going to follow the route, perhaps, that PASOK pioneered, if you like, in Europe.
In Greece,
yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, what has happened is that these socialist parties have just become EU transmission systems. And the more people turn against the EU, the more they turn against these sort of parties. The Labour Party, the formerly dominant Labour Party in the Netherlands, is another example.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what about the North European countries, say the Netherlands, say the countries of Scandinavia?
I mean,
they've got a tradition. They've got a proud tradition of socialism, say social democracies, or at least that's their branding, right?
Absolutely, but it's weakening pretty much everywhere. As I said, the Labour Party, which used to be the dominant party in the Netherlands, has now become almost a marginal force. And in Germany, the SPD is polling abysmally. I mean, it's behind the Greens and the FPD, the Liberal Democrats in Germany. I mean, where it used to be a party that used to poll more than 40%, it's now polling something like 13%. I mean, it's crashing. So even in Northern Europe, social democracy is imploding. And I predict it's going to do the same in Spain.
Yeah, and we can't forget that Spain was one of the PIG, GS, the pigs, countries.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not changed at all. It's very, very much a feature of Spain. I mean, it's been very badly scarred. And by the way, Spain has gone through the same process that you saw in Greece. There was this rise of a so-called left-wing alternative to the socialists, just as there was, you know, the rise of Syriza. There was the rise in Spain of Podemos. There was the rise in Italy of the Five Star Movement. In every case, be it Syriza, the Five Star Movement in Italy, or Podemos, that turned out to be an absolute sham. Those are now in the process of collapse. And what you're seeing is young people are moving towards towards the right. And there's a radicalization taking place, and it's a radicalization on the right. And by the way, the left-wing parties have brought it on themselves. They've been utterly loyal to the EU enterprise, and it's destroying them.
Yeah, there's nothing liberal about the left, that's for sure.
Absolutely
nothing.
Not
at all.
Absolutely
at least
not.
Nothing liberal in a good sense, maybe liberal in a bad sense. Not a good
sense. if you're talking about liberalism as it used to be, you know, Voltaire's liberalism, they're about as far removed from that as it's possible to get. The most authoritarian parties at the moment are the so-called liberal ones. They're not liberal in any meaningful sense. Neoliberal, perhaps, but anyway. But I mean, we may as well call them liberal because that's what they call themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way of explaining it. The neoliberals, they're authoritarian, and I think that's a trend around the world.
Absolutely.
Parties of the left have become very authoritarian, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in North America. It seems like it's built into the party platform nowadays.
Absolutely.
Authoritarianism.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll leave it there, guys. Go to the Durant Shop, 10% off. You'll find the link down below. When you use the code REALNEWS, and look for us on BitChute, Odyssey, SuperU, and go to our locals page. You'll find all those links down below as well. Take care.